All right, take your Bibles this evening, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and want to just say thanks to Pastor for the opportunity from time to time to preach God's Word. It is a blessing. Ephesians chapter 5 this evening, and I want to deal with a matter tonight that really touches so many of our lives and so much of our days. It's remarkable if you look at statistics on how media, whether that is our phones and entertainment, gaming, so many things, consume people's lives. And a matter that is so used in our lives, I think it's important that we are reminded from time to time of some biblical guidelines. So I want to look tonight at some biblical guidelines for media. And by media, I mean technology that we use, whether that is our phones, social media, movies, gaming, and many other aspects. And I think it's remarkable how fast technology is advancing. It's remarkable just 20 years ago when I was a kid, so many of the things that are prevalent today were unheard of. And go beyond that, and it's amazing how it's changed. And years ago, preachers would preach against the going to the movies. They would preach against TVs, and maybe a few here and there would preach against microwaves because they looked like TVs. But there was, all sorts of preaching on these individual areas. But in so many of these cases, you had to go to a certain place to see this wickedness, whether it was pornography, even being involved in gossip. It wasn't just something you could do in the privacy of your home. And now with one device, so many of these things are right there. And it's just amazing how much is accessible to our fingertips. And so I believe there's one passage that really lays out a number of clear biblical guidelines. And I want to look at this tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Since we got into the preaching a little earlier, I'm going to take the time to read verses 1 through 18. And then we'll look at some of these biblical guidelines. All right, follow along with me as I read. And one thing I want you to notice as we read, between verses 1 and 18, I forget the exact number, but there's at least 14 commands. Those are in the imperative mood where Paul is saying, in the command sense, do this. And so notice all the different commands that are in these 18 verses, and it's remarkable. Verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I believe in these verses we see some very clear guidelines for Christians to follow when it comes to this very large umbrella situation of using media. And so tonight I want to break this down, and I see four guidelines in this passage and that we need to look at. The first one is we need to remember who we are. Remember who you are. Now, maybe you have had, growing up, maybe you had a dad or a mom tell you before you go off to camp or before you go off somewhere, they remind you who you are. I remember my dad several times reminding me that you're going somewhere and all it takes is this one event, one thing to do that you do, and you can ruin your name and your reputation. You need to remember who you are. And I think as Christians, we need to remember, first of all, who we are. Notice in the passage here, there's several places. Look at verse 1. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." If you've been saved, you're a child of God. And we need to be followers of God as a child would follow his parents. So we ought to follow God and walk in his steps. So the inference here is that we are children of God. Remember that. That makes a big difference as we go through life when we have in our mind who we are. Okay? We are the child of God. Look at verse number 2. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." As dear children who are following after God, we are to be walking in love. Isn't that the mark of a Christian? That he loves his brethren? That he loves like Christ loves? If we are filled with the Spirit of God and Christ is in us, this world ought to sense the love of Christ through us. We are to walk in love. And surely, in your mind, I trust you're applying this in this matter of media. There's certainly a lot of, we can forget who we are, a lot of times hidden in the privacy of our home, whether it's spewing out things online, we can forget that we're the child of God. And we are to walk in love. That ought to be a characteristic of who we are in this world. But notice also who else we are in Christ. Look at verse number 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." All right? Paul's reminding them, you're saints. You are children. You are holy ones. That's the idea of a saint, is a holy one. And this is speaking of the positional standing that Christians have before God. They are holy ones. They have been made righteous. They're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are saints. You know, it's great that I love the phrase, "we're sinners saved by grace." Okay? Because that's true. But the reality is, we're also saints. We're holy ones. We're children of God. And we need to keep that in our minds. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27, don't turn there, but the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." As children of God, we need to live in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. And really, Paul, in these practical parts of his epistles, is dealing with our walk with the Lord, and our walk in front of this lost world. But we are holy ones. Notice also in verse number 8 who we are. Verse number 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are children of the light. We are light. That's what it says. Ye are light in the Lord. And one of the themes of this passage is darkness and light. And what a contrast that salvation makes. Before you were saved, it describes the lifestyle before you are saved, and then you get saved, and now you are light in the Lord, and there's this very clear distinction. The light reproves the darkness. I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I never get tired of seeing the difference that God makes in people's lives. I never get tired of seeing the darkness be prior to salvation and then the light and that wonderful salvation that the Lord brings. And maybe there's someone here tonight that you look at Christians or you look at what the Word of God says and you think to yourself, "Oh, that's a bunch of foolishness," or I would never want that. And you know what? Those of us who have been saved and know the love of Christ and have been transformed, look back at that life that maybe you're still in, and we think to ourselves, boy, I would never want that. I would never want to go back to that. And if you're here tonight and don't know the Lord, that you're not a new creation in Christ, I challenge you tonight, turn to the Lord. And be saved and become that new creation in Christ. And of course, there's many other reasons to do that. Your eternity, the matter of heaven and hell, but just to know the Lord, it makes all the difference. So first of all, the biblical guideline, as you deal with media and really just through general in life, remember who you are. Remember who you are. The second thing I want us to notice, biblical guideline here, is guard your mind. Guard your mind. You know, we protect things that we care about. You know, if you're a protector in the home, if you're a dad or a husband, you think about the security of this home. We don't want the wrong people getting in here. And so you have different methods and ways to be prepared to protect your home. But you know, one area that we need to be, as on an individual level, we need to be guarding our mind. There's a lot of importance. Our mind is a big deal, and we need to guard it and what we see, what we do, and think. So in this passage, Paul speaks a lot about protecting our mind. He says protect it, first of all, guard it from sexual impurity. Sexual impurity. Look at verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as it becometh saints. Later in the passage, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now this word here in verse 3, fornication, that Greek word is the word from which we get pornography. And of course, this is a huge, huge thing. Really, not just today. I mean, sometimes we think today is being just, it's never been this bad in history in regards to what is so prevalent as far as morality goes. But I believe there's been many times throughout history where it's been just as bad. And Paul calls the believers here to a very high level, an expectation. And of course, God wouldn't call us in His Word to do something that's impossible. He gives us the grace. He gives us His Spirit to accomplish this. But He says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It doesn't line up with who you are. You're a holy one. And you're going to let uncleanness and fornication and covetousness, all this evil to be named, to be a part of your life. It doesn't line up with who you are. Many, many statistics could be given regarding the prevalence of pornography, the prevalence of morality, the decadence of morality in our society. And I think every adult here, I'm sure a young adult understands and is aware of the proliferation of the evil in our society and how easy it is to get to this. But he says, let it not be once named among you as become saints. We need to guard our minds, friends. You know, we can easily come to this thinking in our minds where we kind of just stop guarding our mind and we just say to ourselves, you know what? It is what it is. That's just going to be the battle that we have to face. And it's just going to be part of life where I have to be defeated in this area. But that's not the case. You know, there's two kinds of people when it comes to this issue. It's those who are in the fight and they're fighting and they're saying, you know what, this is not going to be a part of my life. I may fail from time to time, but with God's grace, I'm going for perfect victory in my mind and my thoughts, my actions. That it wouldn't be once named among us as become as saints. That it wouldn't be a part of what we are viewing. The other person is the person who's just given in and said, I guess it's just going to be the way it is. It's just going to be the struggle till the day I die. And I realize that this matter is so prevalent And it needs to be addressed. And we have to address it. But we need to guard our minds. He gives three terms here, all dealing with this matter of moral impurity, fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. All right, all uncleanness. This is closely connected to moral impurity. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." We're children of light. We're saints. We're holy ones. This ought to have no part in our life. Now, thank God for cleansing. Thank God for the fact that we have an advocate with the Father, that we can go to the throne, we can find forgiveness of sins. And I realize that this is a very real struggle for many people. And but there's victory. And you can experience victory in your life. Are you in the fight? Are you guarding what you view so that you can have victory in this arena? Or have you just succumbed to the battle and say, "I'm just going to be defeated. It's just going to be the way it is." Let me tell you what, just as a sidelight, if you're in that situation and you need, you know, sometimes you need someone to come along and help you through that battle. And it takes humility, but it takes courage to step out and say, "You know what? My victory in this arena is more important than my pride." And be willing to go and get the help that is needed. And let me tell you what, there is nothing like finding freedom, especially in this arena. And it is possible in this day and age, even with all the uncleanness and all the wickedness that is prevalent around us. But we need to guard our mind when it comes to this matter of media. It's so prevalent out there. At a minimum, of course, we should have protection on our devices. We should be guarded in what we watch. If we, every Christian, took this standard of "let it not be once named among you as become a saints," it would eliminate just about all of Hollywood. It'd eliminate almost all movies out there, because there's so much that, honestly, I think that they realize that if it doesn't have this kind of impurity in it, it won't sell. And so they're driven by money, of course, the love of money. And they're going to keep producing this. And so we need to have that as our standard in our home, in our lives, that let it not be once named among us. Fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness. Now you say, why is covetousness in there? That seems totally different. Well, we're going to be getting to this in the Ten Commandments, but Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 mentions the tenth commandment. It says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." All right, so covetousness is a big thing, but it definitely includes this moral arena, coveting that which is not yours. We need to guard our minds. It's a very high standard. Verse number 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." You know, the wickedness of our culture is so prevalent that sometimes I fear we can start, because of how prevalent and pervasive it is, we just get used and accustomed to talking about the things that are so prevalent in our culture. Things that just a few decades ago would have been a shame even to speak about them. And in some ways, we have to, because of how prevalent it is, we have to be willing to talk about it. But in just our personal lives, we need to keep this in mind. Have we lost our blush? Jeremiah chapter 6 talks about the nation of Israel and how they had gone so far down in their minds, in their actions and what they did, that the Bible says they had lost their blush. They couldn't even blush. They weren't even ashamed about the wickedness and the sin. And friends, I hope we never lose that sense of shame, even if we're not involved in it. But just in our culture, as we see the wickedness, that it brings a sense of shame to even speak about it. We don't feel the freedom to just speak about it and without blushing or speaking in hushed tones because of the sense of shame regarding it. Have we lost our blush? This wickedness that is so prevalent, and if we aren't careful in our media choices, we can become desensitized by the tremendous amount of wickedness in our culture that we see. So we need to guard our minds. He makes it very clear in this passage. Guard it against all sexual impurity. But he also calls us to guard our minds from corrupting ideas. From corrupting ideas. Notice with me verse number 6. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, we can be deceived. Who we listen to matters.
Right.
Who we get advice from matters. You know, in today's day and age with technology, everyone has a voice. And it could be someone that has zero character, has zero actual real life wisdom to share, zero Bible knowledge, and they can be spewing things out all over the internet, all over social media, and we just get used to hearing that. And we have to guard and say, wait a second, there's a lot of corrupting ideas out there. And with all the technology we have, we come into contact with so many of these ideas that we never would had we, you know, not had this technology. And so we need to guard against corrupting ideas. One thing I realize that you can have some of these social media things, and I'm not preaching against them per se. But one thing I found that with different platforms like Facebook and things like that, it is very easy to hear a lot but not be able to reprove it or correct it. The way Facebook is set up, if you call out someone's wrong thinking or correct someone, you become the bad guy. And I can't stand that. I can't being able to just be silent when someone's blatantly giving unbiblical information. And so that's one thing why I struggle with having that. But if you're able to contain yourself, more power to you. But there's a lot of corrupting ideas out there. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. There's things out there you would never think of on your own except someone you read online, some fool maybe, gave the idea to you. And Satan uses that to take advantage in our lives and to take ground in our thinking. That's where he operates. So if we're reading all sorts of nonsense online spewed out by bitter people, spewed out by fools that are mocking God, it's going to affect us over time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so prevalent out there that you're going to think, boy, everyone thinks this way. I'm the oddball here, and maybe I need to adjust my thinking. And so we need to guard it. Now, notice with me verses 8 through 13. Again, he uses the example of light and darkness. But look at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice verse 9 as a parenthesis. I want you to, we'll come back to verse 9, but look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That phrase, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, actually ties back with the verb there in verse number 8. Walk as children of light. How are you to walk? You're to walk in a way proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The climax, I think, of this chapter is verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And we are the light as Christians. We have a job to shine brightly in the darkness of this world. We have a job to reprove the darkness. All right? For sure in our minds when we see evilness, evil, when wickedness taking place, we need to reprove it in our own thinking. An example of this, a few years ago I was preaching on verse 18 and dealing with the matter of alcohol. And a very, I believe, spiritually minded young man came up to me afterwards and said, you know what, I really appreciated that message because I have my boss at work, he claims to be a Christian, and he's a really good guy, you know, but he drinks alcohol. And so I had kind of in my mind gone to the thinking that, you know, it's okay for some people, but just not for me. I'm not going to do it. He kind of said it like a liberty issue. And after seeing what God's word said, he said, you know what? I've changed my thinking. And what did he do? In his mind, he started to reprove it. He said, you know what? That's wrong. I'm not going to just change my thinking on this. He reproved it. And God's word needs to be so in us that we can readily and easily recognize the wickedness and reprove it. And sometimes that reproving, I believe, means we need to speak up and say, this isn't right. We might need to go to another Christian and say, friend, this isn't right. The Bible says this should not even be named among us. This shouldn't be a part of our lives. We're children of light. That's a high standard. The light and darkness have no mixture. And that is what God has called us to do. So we need to guard our mind from sexual impurity, from corrupting ideas. But number three, I want us to notice as a biblical guideline, we need to watch our tongues. We need to watch our tongues. Look at verse number four. He's going on here in this command of how we ought to walk. Verse number four, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Here, these three words are all connected to our speech. These things are not to be a part of our lives. Why? Because of who we are. We're saints. We're holy ones. We're to walk in the light. And so filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, all three again are connected to our speech. These are not convenient. They shouldn't be a part of our lives. They're not in line with who we are as children of light. But you know what is? Giving of thanks. That ought to be a mark of a Christian. Someone who is thankful in their spirit. Someone who is thankful. In fact, we see in verse 20 that one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is this matter of giving thanks. It flows out of a Spirit-filled believer. Giving thanks. Always, for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a negative use of our tongue. And boy, there is so much that can be said. You know, when you think about social media and the different avenues out there, people get, they say things they'll never say to someone's face, but in the privacy of their basement, they'll say just about anything. And as a Christian, we need to stop. The Bible says in James 1:19, be slow to speak. Our words today have become so cheap. You don't, you know, there used to be a day where what people said they stood by, and every word that came out of their mouth, in a sense, was guarded because they wanted to make sure it was protected and careful. And yet nowadays, people just spew out whatever they want through all sorts of different avenues and aren't held responsible for their words. But as Christians, we need to be guarded in our tongue. We need to guard it. We need to recognize what James 3 speaks about, how our tongue should be used for so much wickedness. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And surely, with all the social media platforms out there, the different avenues we have to spew words surely has caused many to sin. Notice then the positive, as I mentioned, giving of thanks. Let's use our tongues for giving thanks to the Lord, for praising the Lord, for reproving darkness. God has given us a very powerful thing that can be used for the glory of God, or it can be used for destruction and used of Satan. We need to guard our tongues. So remember who you are, guard your mind, watch your tongue, and finally tonight, as we close, we could spend a lot more time on all these, but as we close, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Look at verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're called to walk circumspectly. A wise man walks circumspectly. You know, for those of you who use visual pictures, Maybe the way to understand this idea of walking circumspectly is imagining that there's a lot of illustrations you can give this, but imagine there's mousetraps set all around the main aisle here, down, up and down. And you're walking around barefoot, blindfolded. All right? You're going to walk circumspectly, right? Or maybe a few rat traps in there. That would hurt on your toes, right? You're going to walk circumspectly. You're going to kind of feel, make sure that you're not going to step right in it. You're going to take little steps. All right? You're going to walk circumspectly. And the Bible says we are to walk circumspectly through this life, redeeming the time. A fool, he doesn't think about his time. A fool doesn't care about how much time he's wasting on social media or on YouTube or whatever it might be. A wise man is going to stop and think, you know what, I just wasted 30 minutes watching this, and what did I accomplish? A wise man thinks that way. And then adjusts his path and says, you know what, I'll never get that time back. Use it for the Lord. I saw in preparing for this, I saw a breakdown of how much different, if you took someone's life as an average of 70 years of life, I think it was maybe 20 years are spent sleeping. And it broke down in today's culture, I forget the percentage, but it was remarkable how much time in a person's life, they live to 70, they'll have spent in media, whether it's video games, TV, social media, whatever that might be, online. It's unbelievable. And think of a Christian ought to think, you know what? It's an evil day in which we live. There's a lot to do for the Lord. We need to redeem the time, use it wisely, and accomplish much for the Lord. The devil would love to get us destroyed in our thinking, in our minds, believing wrong things. He would love to get us sitting, just wasting our time and not using it in these wicked days. But imagine if every Christian said, you know what? I'm going to be very guarded in my use of media and the entertainment I take in, because there's a tremendous amount of work to do. And use that time to serve the Lord. I believe in our day and age, there's nothing like media that is just a sapper of time and taking away the energy of God's people and destroying their thinking and destroying their passion for the Lord than through these different avenues of media. And so we need to be guarded. And there are so many other things that could be said just on a practical level, how poor communication skills our young people nowadays have because of media and not being able to talk to people clearly and look in their eyes. And people are insecure because they care about what everyone thinks and how they're going to appear and all that. And so there's just so many different other practical ways. But here in Ephesians 5, I believe some biblical guidelines that we need to all tonight evaluate our use of technology and media and say, are these fitting with Ephesians chapter 5 and what the Lord has called us? Remember who you are. You're children of light, you're saints, holy ones who've been called out of darkness and into the light. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray that your people would take this and let the Holy Spirit apply this to their lives. And maybe there's some adjustments that need to be made. Maybe there's direct things, decisions that need to be made regarding protecting our minds and our children and other things that come into the home. Lord, help us to be wise stewards of the time that you've given us. May we walk as saints, as children of light in this wicked day. In Jesus' name, amen.